Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Dear friends of this program, can you believe it? We are halfway through the year. Sorry to have to ask you this, but we are in desperate need of your financial help. If you enjoy this program and would be willing to support us with a generous donation, please send your donation to Crown of Life Baptist Church, P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. While supplies last, for a donation of $100 or more, we will send you one of the following books: The Rod, Will God Spare It? The Word, God Will Keep It? The Trail of Blood, Revisited? Or The Boy with No Name? The book, The Rod, Will God Spare It?, was written by Pastor Joey Faust, who is a personal friend of mine. This book is an exhaustive study of the temporary punishment for unfaithful Christians at the judgment seat of Christ and during the millennial kingdom. This book is thoroughly footnoted. Also, Pastor Joey wrote the book, The Word, God Will Keep It, which is also an extensive research of the 400-year history of the King James Bible-only movement. Remember, if your Bible omits the name of Lucifer from Isaiah chapter 14, you are using a Luciferian version of the Bible. Don't get offended. Just switch to the King James Bible and be edified in the true Word of God. Two other books that I have on hand are The Trail of Blood Revisited, written by my mentor, Dr. Greg Dixon, which is about Christ's true New Testament church, its past, present, and future. Also, The Boy with No Name is Dr. Dixon's autobiography. Again, for a donation of $100 or more, I will send you one of these books, or for a donation of $1,000 or more, I will send you all four books while supplies last. We hope you will consider donating monthly. We would love to hear from you. Tell us your personal story of how you were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and how this program ministers to your Christian walk. Enjoy listening to this morning's program as we continue with the message, Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, which draws a line between the church and the kingdom. They are both to be taught in this age of grace, and yet they are distinct one from the other. Their paths intersect to some extent, and I will reveal how and why. One of the major tenets of the Baptists that differs from the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches is that the New Testament church is a local, visible body of believers. The church is many, not singular. Meaning, just because you are saved and born again does not mean you are in the body of Christ. A born-again believer becomes a member of a local assembly through the repentance and scriptural baptism, which is by immersion only. Baptism is one of two ordinances of the New Testament church. It is not a sacrament. The believer's business is not to build the kingdom, but to build the undefiled church, which Scripture admonishes to be the chaste virgin, which is espoused to Christ, if it is not defiled. Jesus Christ will take out of the pure, undefiled New Testament church those who will make up the kingdom in the future when he returns. Eternal life on the new earth in a newly created heaven is based purely on faith alone. However, ruling and reigning with Christ in the millennial kingdom is based on faith and obedience to a host of commandments that Jesus and the apostles spell out for the believer. The Holy Spirit, through the book of Hebrews, commands us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Much is implied in that single statement. Church attendance is paramount to the believers unless you are absolutely physically impaired, such as the very elderly and physically handicapped. Entrance into the millennial kingdom is a prize for faithfulness, righteousness, and holiness in one's walk with Christ. Again, send your donation to Crown of Life Baptist Church, P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. I look forward to hearing from you. Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, Part 6.
The church is to preach the kingdom, to pray for it, and to seek to enter it. Paul in Ephesus said, particularly the apostle, he was the apostle of church planting. Nobody's given us more information about the church, the doctrine of the church, and church planted churches than Paul the apostle. He was the church planter. He was the great apostle that led the way for a planting church. And went into the synagogues here in Acts chapter 19 and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom, talking to the Jews. He always went to a synagogue in those Greek cities and spoke to the Jews first before he presented the gospel to the Gentiles, to persuade them that Christ came as the Messiah and to accept him, embrace him as the Messiah, and then spoke about the coming kingdom. The last time we hear Paul speak on the kingdom in the book of Acts is while he was under house arrest in Rome. The Jews rejected it, but the Gentiles would hear him and be converted. It tells us, the last chapter of Acts, And when they, the Jews, had appointed him a day, there came many to him. Now this is after Jesus had Paul had a shipwreck. Remember, he had the shipwreck in the Mediterranean Sea, and he survived that and came to Rome, and he's speaking, and they gave him liberty to preach. And when they, the Jews, had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Now, he's using the Old Testament, trying to persuade them. He's talking to Jews. So then they rejected him. It tells you they rejected him. I didn't put those verses in your list, but you can go back. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. That's you and I, Gentiles, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The Gentiles took it all in. They got converted. They didn't understand the law and Moses and the Jews, their covenant of the Old Testament that well. Paul had to teach it to them, but they still believed. And the Jews, who were brought up from childhood learning the things about the law of Moses and the prophets and Daniel and the kingdom, they rejected it. And so he was teaching it in the Church of Rome that became the great church after the church in Jerusalem was destroyed. In the last letter Paul wrote, he is still preaching the kingdom of God. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Underline that. I have kept the faith. So Paul is telling us by stating that not everybody keeps the faith. Not all believers keep the faith. They fall away. There's a great falling away when the Antichrist is revealed. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. As I've preached over and over and over again, no crown, no ruling and reigning with Christ. The crown is the evidence of your righteousness, your overcoming, and that you will be a king with Christ, ruling and reigning in his millennial kingdom when he comes. Laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love my appearing. Love my appearing. Do you love his appearing? Did I put you to sleep? Do you love his appearing? Are you excited about him coming back? I mean, that's going to be a glorious time. We can't stand those clowns in Washington, D.C. We can't stand those clowns downtown in Indianapolis. Maybe up here they're not so bad, but boy, down in Indianapolis there are a bunch of clowns. How about Chicago? Look at their mayor. Look at the crime rate. Look at the rioting that's been going on in Chicago. I mean, it is insane. Insane that they just let that go on. The violence, the murder, the shootings. But talking about shooting, I thought I got shot the other night. I'm driving along. I brought some clothing to Kimberly. She had to stay overnight with her grandmother, who was ill and needs aid late at night. And it was after Bible study Wednesday. I went home, got things for her, put it in a bag, brought them over to her at her grandma's house. I was coming back home. I slowed down for a traffic light. I'm like 2 miles, 3 miles away from my house. And the passenger side window blows up. Blows up. Just shatters into a million little pieces, all still connected. And I'm looking at my hands. I'm like, am I still alive? I'm like, am I bleeding? And it was nobody else at the intersection. I didn't see any person, individual. There was an apartment complex to the left of me. And I don't know if somebody shot a high-powered BB gun or a pellet gun at me, or threw a rock, came out from the shadows and threw a rock at the windshield. But the light changed and I kept going. But I didn't know if it was a carjacking, if somebody was trying to, you know, create a carjacking, thinking, oh, well, I would get out of my car and then they would, you know, come and steal the car or what. But there's just violence all over the place, all over the place. Gunshot, you know, not everybody's dying, but people are getting shot all the time or stabbed or one kind of violence after the next. It's insane. There's lack of law enforcement, lack of prosecution. There was a hearing in New York City. I don't know if you're familiar. There was a hearing in New York City recently by some Republican congressman and talking to all these people who've had children shot and killed in New York City, and the prosecutor in New York City is not doing anything about it. Not doing anything about it. Even if they caught the perpetrators, they're letting them back out on the streets and just dropping the cases. So there's an insanity in the world. And there's the only one who's going to straighten it out is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who's going to straighten things out is the Lord Jesus Christ. If he sees fit to bring some kind of saving redemption to our country and some kind of event that would bring back liberty, so be it. Praise the Lord. We'd love that. But we need to be ready and prepared for his soon return, because it's going to happen any moment. All right. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, we see, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." What does that mean, became the first fruit? Of them that slept. What does that mean? Remember, let's see if you can answer this question, because I think I've taught this. Hopefully I've conveyed this. What did you say, Ellen? Very good. Right on the button. Right on the button. First one to resurrect. He is the first one to resurrect from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so he's the first one to have resurrected from the grave. Very good. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Okay? "For by since man came death," man brought death, Adam and Eve brought death, they because of their sin in the Garden of Eden. "By man," Jesus Christ being the man, the God-man, "came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Okay, so we are all descendants of Adam. Every one of us in the room here, there's not a soul in here in this room, unless you were hatched from an egg, but I don't think anybody was hatched from an egg in this room here. That's how I get in trouble. Is that, what did you just say, Jen? Is that how I get in trouble? All right. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all, shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Okay, Christ is the first one who's resurrected. Nobody is resurrected up to the sky, to the clouds, to the heavens. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. That is key. Right there. Right there is key. The all the other resurrections of human beings on the face of the earth doesn't take place until his coming. Until his coming. Okay? Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. That takes place at the end of the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. That takes place then. Okay? So then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Okay? That's when death, Satan is destroyed. Death is destroyed completely. Remember I told you in the millennial reign, there will be death. It will be very infrequent. People will live huge and long periods of time, just like Methuselah. And the time before the flood, people will live a very long time. Then he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26 addresses the death issue. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Because at the end of the millennial reign, you have Satan is loose for a short period of time. And an untold huge number of humanity follows after Satan. That just is bizarre. To me, that I cannot comprehend that. Good? To me, I cannot comprehend that. And that those people living in a time when Christ is living on the earth, like it's like Garden of Eden, and they turn to Satan. That just shows you the shallowness, the wicked depravity in the hearts of man. When they have the most, I mean, we would love to have that kind of condition or half that kind of condition in the world today. And tranquility and lack of death and disease. And still they turn against God. That to me, I can't get over it. It sticks in my mind. I can't believe that Satan is loose to tempt men, and they are tempted and they turn towards him and against Christ at the end of the millennium. And so, for he has put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are but under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And so that means the Lord has accepted all that Christ has done, not only his death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood, his sinless pattern, you know, his sinless life, but also his what he did ruling in the earth is accepted of the Father, and that the Lord, the Father puts all things under him. And so that speaks of the kingdom in that passage, and the kingdom is still future. So what we're doing here in this lesson is looking that the church is the current visible entity of the Lord in the earth today. The church. When the church ceases to exist, which will be when the Lord comes back, then the kingdom will be established. And so the two don't intertwine. You'll have a physical, visible kingdom, and the church will no longer exist on the earth. And so this is not the kingdom, and the church doesn't usher in the kingdom. Christ ushers in the kingdom. The church is too weak to usher in the kingdom. We see the weakness of the church in the world today, right? Is powerless to the agenda that is just pouring out the filth and the wickedness and the agenda of the world today. The church is powerless to it. If not, the church is enveloping it. It is embracing it. In some of your denominations are embracing it and not speaking out against it. And afraid to be taken off of YouTube or some platform or to be ridiculed by those on the left who will then just protest. You know, 30 years ago, I came to the Baptist Temple in 92, and, you know, Kim and I were not married then. We just met. We were in the college together. And a bunch of preachers came to Dr. Dixon and said, we're going to go down to the church that Bill Clinton attends, a Baptist church in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. We're going to go protest this church. Because at the time, the church allowed Bill Clinton to sing in the choir. It was all done for effect. It's all done for the visual. It was all done for the purpose of election. Big church, big Southern Baptist church. And they were protesting because the pastor wouldn't talk to these pastors. So I volunteered to go. And I went down to Little Rock, and we're protesting. They have police. They won't let us go into the church, building, because we protested. We were protesting, and the pastor wouldn't speak to these other pastors that were there. Dr. Dixon did not go down. And right across the street, you have the whole sodomite crowd protesting us and supportive of the church and Bill Clinton inside the building. There was plenty of evidence of the adultery lifestyle of Bill Clinton and all his mistresses. It wasn't a secret even, you know, when he first was elected as a president. And the pastor wouldn't talk to these other pastors and ask him, why would you let him up there in the choir? But it was all done for the effects. And so the wickedness, and that's why the churches are quiet. They fear man. They fear retribution.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible. The true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.